And Lord, Lord, help us this morning, if you will, okay? Take your Bibles, if you will. As you take God's word, turn with me to the book of John, if you will. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And it's wonderful to see visitors in God's house this morning. It's always a blessing to me to see visitors. And so we hope we will be a blessing to you today. We hope our church can accommodate your needs today. And I do my best to preach God's word to you. Here in John chapter 10, if you'll turn there with me, we think about Memorial Day and people giving their lives for our country. And I can't think of no one better to preach on about giving their lives than Jesus Christ. My friend, he's the greatest one there is to ever give a life for us. I think about my sins and my life and how I was, how we all was before we got saved. But yet the Bible says God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says Christ died for us. Let's look here, if you would, in John chapter 10, and let's begin reading in verse 7, and we'll read through verse 18 together. Let's notice what the Word of God says here. The Bible says in verse 10, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and am known of them, of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice what it says here in verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 16, the Bible says, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, do my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Notice what it says here in verse 17. I lay down my life. And then in verse 18, notice what the Bible says. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Let's pray real quick. Father, help our hearts now to see what you have here in God's word for us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Notice what it says here in verse 15, I believe it is. The Bible says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Here Jesus Christ is speaking. He's spoken to the multitude, and he said, I want you to know something. I'm the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And my friend, there's only one door to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In this church building, we have those two double doors that we enter in and exit out of. And in case of emergency, we have these two doors on my left and right that you can leave out of if you have to. But my friend, there's only one way to be saved, and that's the way of Jesus. That's to go to Jesus and confess our sins and repent of our sins and put our faith in him and be saved by God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to know something here in verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Here Jesus Christ has laid his life down for us. And my friend, it's more to being saved than just being saved. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, there's things that company of salvation. It's more to Jesus Christ than just being saved. He's the way we live our lives. He's our comfort, our strength. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible says that Christ is the great intercessor, my friend. He's praying for us today in John chapter 17. You can read the word of God where he's praying for each and every one of us today. The Bible not only says that, but look here in verse 17. The Bible says, therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Here Christ mentioned it the second time. I lay down my life. He says, I'm laying down my life for the sheep. I'm laying down my life because that's what the Father has given me to do.
And then notice here in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. My friend, I want you to know when Christ went to the cross of Calvary, no man took his life from him. Christ willfully laid his life down on the cross. Christ willfully took those spikes in his hands and those spikes in his feet and that crown of thorns upon his brow. My friend, he took the cat of nine tails. He took those lashes upon his back. He took that mocking and beating and scourging. He took all that physical punishment for you, my friend. He says, no man take my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He said, I lay it down willfully for you. My friend, no one had to make Christ become sin for us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because he laid down his life, we can be saved this morning. Because he laid down his life, he was honoring the Father and doing what God has sent him to do. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. That's me and you today. That's all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, whether if you're rich or dumb or smart or poor, my friend, no matter who you are this morning, if you're white or black, if you're from another country, the Bible says, for whosoever, my friend, the Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here the Bible says for us in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. We're going to look at two more verses in God's Word and look at them as we go along with this. So if you would, turn here, if you would, to John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, the same book in John chapter 15. And for somehow, some way, mark your place there, because we're going to be turning back and forth here to John chapter 15. As you find your place in John 15, mark that so you can go back to it. And then find in the 1 John, if you would, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And keep these two places close so we can go back and forth, what God's Word says here. In John chapter 15 and then 1 John chapter 3. I want you to notice here as you turn your place there, ask God to help us this morning. But remember this portion of Scripture we just read. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I don't lay my life down for just any reason. He said, I don't lay my life down just because I want to. He says, I lay my life down for the sheep. In other words, he's given his life for us. I think about Memorial Day. I think about the men that gave their life in the military. Those men who's kissed their wives and hugged their children and said, I'll come back home after the war. And they never made it back home. They died on a foreign field. Their blood was shed on a foreign field. They died defending our country. They died fighting in a war that maybe they have no idea what the war is about. And they did not know the outcome of the war, but yet they went out, my friend, with bravery and with courage. They went out and fought for our country. The Bible says that this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for the sheep. Notice what it says here in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 13, look at the word of God with me. Greater love have no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Boy, that's a great verse right there, ain't it? And Jesus Christ spoke this verse to us in verse 13 of John chapter 15. Notice what the Bible says once again. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to speak just for a few minutes about the love of his, the love that he has for us. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I want you to notice, my friend, this morning, there's no greater love than what's in Jesus Christ. He's the greatest lover there is, my friend. He loves the whole world today. He loves you today. I think about when I was lost in sin on the way to a devil's hell, all the things I've ever done against God, all the things I've ever done against my parents, all the things I ever done wrong in school, but all the bad things we've ever done, Christ still loved us. The Bible says he loved us with an everlasting love. In Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Bible says his love is everlasting. Preacher Scott, what do you mean? That means there was never a time he started loving you. He's always loved you. He's always loved you. There was a time I started loving my wife. We worked at a huddle house together. I saw her. My eyes was drawn to her. I thought she was a very beautiful woman. I looked at her. I said, I want her to be my girlfriend. And we started dating and we got married and God's given us a beautiful family. There was a time, a day, I started loving my wife. But there was never a time God started loving you. He's always loved you from the foundation of the world. My friend, I want you to know there's no greater love than Jesus Christ. There's no greater love than him. He's always loved us. There's no greater love than him. The Bible says God is love. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there to read it for you. But I want you to notice what it says here. Well, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It'll take us a little while to get started, but we'll get going here in just a few minutes here. In 1 John chapter 3. Hold your place, if you would, in John 15, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I want you to see this verse here, if you would. In John chapter 3, the Bible says here in verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The Bible says hereby perceive or know. In other words, he says hereby we know the love of God. How do we know the love of God? Because he demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. My friend, Christ died for our sins. He laid his life down for us. The Bible says there's no greater love than for a friend to give his life for a friend. And my friend, the greatest friend you can ever have is Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, "I'll never leave thee." He said, "I'll never forsake thee." He said, "I'll be with you always, even until the ends of the world." And here the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." My friend, if Christ never lay down his life, then we really wouldn't know if God loved us, my friend. But I want you to know God loves you today because he is love. Notice what it says here in John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I want you to know what God is this morning. God is love. He loves you this morning. If you're lost without Jesus, if you're going to die in your sins and go to hell, you don't have to, my friend, because God loves you this morning. You're looking at a pastor that loves you this morning. You're looking at open door, independent Baptist church members that loves you this morning. You're looking at people that loves you this morning. And the Bible says the only reason we love is because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We love you because he first loved us. We want you saved because, my friend, he saved us. And we saw the love of God. The Bible says here there's no greater love. Christ laid down his life, and he laid down his life in demonstration of the love he has for all of us. Sometimes, beloved, I tell you the truth. In this Christian life, we get so caught up in our own selves, we think sometimes nobody loves us. Sometimes you go to the hospital, and somebody don't come to visit at the right time, and you'll say, "Well, nobody don't care, and nobody loves me." And my friend, we're pretty good at trying to visit people in church, and the church is anyway. Good at sending letters and cards, and thank God for those who send letters and cards out to those who's in the hospital. But sometimes the devil makes us think, "Hey, nobody loves us." Even in our own family, sometimes we think, "Hey, nobody loves us." And sometimes we think, "Hey, my husband really don't understand. He really don't love me." Sometimes we say, "My wife really don't understand. And sometimes I don't know if she loves me." I want you to notice today, my friend, that God loves you today. There's nothing you can ever imagine. There's nothing you can ever do for God to stop loving you. Boy, he loves you today. I think about the drunk on the street. God loves him today. You say, "How do you know that, Preacher Scott?" Because God gave his son for him to be saved. The Bible says there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. The Bible says hereby, look here if you would in verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want you to know there's no greater love than God. And I want you to notice that God is love. And I want you to notice that God's love is everlasting. And the last thing I want you to notice about God's love is for everyone. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world." As you here today, as these two young girls that are sitting on the front row that's listening to Preacher Scott, you know what I want to tell you today? Hey, God loves you today. Sometimes you might think a little boy at school loves you. Sometimes you might think mom and dad loves you, and we should, but God loves you today. Hey, God loves you with everlasting love. Every beat of God's heart, every second God, my friend, thinks about you, and he loves you, and he loves the world. He loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that we can be saved and we can be set free and we can be serving the King of Kings today. I want you to notice the Bible says there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. And do you agree with me that Christ laid his life down for us? So we must be God's friend. Because he said there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for a friend. So I reckon this morning we're all of God's friends because he loves us. Because he gave his life for us. The Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." My friend, we know God loves us because he died for us. The Bible says, "I lay my life down for the sheep." Not only does he lay his life down for his friends, and we're God's friends, and no doubt he saved us and set us free, but the Bible says he also laid down his life for the sheep. In other words, when you got saved by God's grace, it doesn't stop there. It's just a new beginning in a Christian life. There's always new beginnings in our lives. And here Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Every day Christ is laying down, not to be sacrificed, not, my friend, to be hung on a cross at Calvary, but every day he's laying himself down so he can give us the strength and power and confidence and courage and grace and mercy and hope and rest that we need to serve him. He says, every day I lay my life down for the sheep that they can have all that they would ever need. You know what a sheep needs to live? A sheep needs food to eat, needs water to drink, and a place to stay. And here Jesus said, I'm laying my life down to give you the bread of life, to feed you all during the week. He said, I'm laying my life down to give you the ever-living water, the everlasting water that you can may drink freely and have the power to live your Christian life. He said, hey, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, I have a place for you to stay, and it's in the shadow of the Almighty, my friend. In the book of Psalms, the Bible compares Jesus to a dove, and it says, we get up under his wing, and we're in the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, thank God, we've got a place to go to for comfort. We've got a place to go to for rest. We've got somebody to run to, my friend. He says, hey, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He said, Brother John, I lay my life down for my friends. And that's how we got saved, because you're his friend. And he laid his life down on the cross of Calvary so you can be saved by his grace. You can be saved by his precious blood. His blood will forgive and cover a multitude of sins. But on that, he says, I lay my life down for the sheep. And that's us who's already been saved, who's here today. He says, I have all that you would ever need if you'll just come to Jesus. My friend, he has all that you would ever need. You say, Preacher Scott, you don't understand what I'm going through today. I'm struggling inside my mind. There's a war raging inside my mind. There's a battle going. And you just don't understand the pressure I'm under. You don't understand the circumstances I'm in. You don't understand what's going on in my life, my friend. I want you to notice, I don't understand, but God does. And Jesus Christ cares. He says, hey, I lay my life down for the sheep. He lays his life down for us every day. You'll never run out. God will never run out. His supplies will never run out. He says, mercy. Mercy endureth forever. How long is forever? Forever, for all eternity. He said, his mercy endureth forever. He said, my grace is all sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I want you to notice the Bible says, hey, there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. My friend, if you're not saved today, God loves you. And he laid down his life so you can't be saved. If you're saved by God's grace like I am, then he wants you to notice he laid his life down for the sheep so we can have what we need every day. You say, Preacher Scott, I'm having trouble with my family. All of us do. You say, Preacher Scott, I'm having trouble on my job. Well, all of us do. My friend, if you're going to live the Christian life in this world, you're going to have persecutions, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have problems. The Bible says, man that's born a woman is few days and full of trouble. My friend, if we live 70 years, which is 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80 years, there's still trouble, and there's still a heartache, and there's still problems that all of us are going to have to go through. But I want you to notice that God's there with you, and Christ will lead you through, and God, my friend, will give you all love. His love will never run out for you today. He said, there's no greater love. I love my wife. I love my wife like you can't even imagine. I love my children. We was talking to somebody this morning. And Sister Kay, was talking to Sister Kay and Frost this morning. I asked her how her knee was doing, and she said, well, it's still hurting. It's not like it should be. And then Sister Opal spoke up because she kept the grandchildren. She kept her grandchildren knowing her knee was hurting, knowing that she probably wasn't doing right, but my friend, there's a love for your grandchildren, ain't it? I don't have grandchildren. I don't know what that love is, but everybody's told me, Brother Glenn's told me, there's a different type of love you have for your grandchildren than you do for your own children. There's a certain type of love you have for your wife. There's another type of love you have for your children. And Brother Steve, there's another type of love you have for your grandchildren, especially when it comes to church with you. There's just something about them grandbabies. John R. Rice, which was a great preacher, he said, I knew grandbabies was going to be so much special in my life, he said, I would skip having the children and just go straight to the grandchildren. There's a certain love you have for your children, a certain love you have for your grandchildren, a certain love you have for your wife, a certain love you have for brothers and sisters in Christ. But my friend, none of that love matches up to the love that God has for me and you today. We cannot describe God's love. We cannot experience God's love, my friend. We know a little bit about it today, but it's not going until we get to heaven. It's not going to be Brother Jeff until we get to heaven and look Jesus Christ in his face. And then we'll know the true love that God has for us, my friend. It's not till we get to heaven, and then we know that when Christ said, hey, I lay my life down for the sheep, we'll understand what he means today. Hey, there's an endless supply of Jesus. Whatever you need today, you come to Jesus. You can't exhaust Jesus. You can't weary Jesus. You can't run Jesus low. He never sleeps. He's never slumbering. He's never tired. He's always awake, and he's always accessible. You need to come to Jesus today. He said, there's no greater love, Brother Jeff. There's no greater love. I've learned to love my stepfather. I learned to love him. Thank God for him today. I'm glad he's here. But no matter how much I love him, I love my grandmother, and love my mother-in-law, and everybody else that's here today, my friend, there's nothing we can match our love to with God's loving us. He loves us today. Not only that, but I want you to notice here what it says here in verse 16. At 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. Notice what it says here, if you would, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. Hold your place back and forth. We'll be turning these two verses for the next 2 points, I believe it is. The Bible says here in verse 13 of John chapter 15, the Bible says, greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So not only did Jesus give us his love, but he also gave us his life. He's given us his life today. Hey, my friend, how do you get saved? Because God loves you. How do you get saved? Because you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when a preacher says we confess our sin, we don't confess every sin we have ever done. We don't confess to God every lie we ever told because we can't remember them. We don't confess to God every time we had a bad thought because we can't remember them. But we do come to God, and we do say, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize there's something that has got to take place in my life. And God, the best way I know how, I ask you to forgive my sins, come into my heart and life, and save me, and help me deliver you. And my friend, that way we confess our sins, we repent of our sins, we put our faith in Jesus, and he saves us. And my friend, from that day forward, we realize that we have the life of Christ. We have his life today. As he died on the cross at Calvary, he died for us and he died as us. And today we put our faith and trust in him. We receive his life. You say, Preacher Scott, what does that mean as a Christian today? As a Christian today, we can live for Jesus. As a Christian today, we can do what's right. As a Christian today, we can make a difference because we have the life of God. We have the life of Christ. We have all of Christ's power available to us. Today, my friend, I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow in his hands. And sometimes we tell God how big our problems is when we need to turn around and tell our problems how big our God is. Here the Bible says, not only has he given us his love, but he's given us his life. He's given us his life. The day you got saved, the day I got saved, we entered into the life of Christ. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We entered into the family of Christ, and we have his life today. My friend, you realize we're a walking testimony of Jesus? All of us that are saved by God's grace today, when people see us and we tell them we're Christians, we tell them we're members of Open Door, they look at our lives and they expect us to be different. When I go to the hospital, I still try to wear a necktie and jacket because I'm your pastor, because I'm a preacher, because I'm a Christian. I want people to look at me and say, hey, there's someone that's different. There's someone that's not fitting in with the world. He must have the life of Jesus. And we all have the life of Jesus. If you're saved, are you saved this morning? You know Christ is your Savior. He said there's no greater love than for Jesus to lay down his life for us. But there's nothing any better for a Christian than knowing that we have the life of Christ. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, Jesus Christ is going to live for all eternity, ain't he? He tasted death once for man. And now the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So, Brother Jeff, if I have his life, then I have everlasting life. If I have the life of the everlasting one, and I have the life of Jesus Christ, I'm going to live for all eternity, my friend. Hey, one day this world is going to be over. One day this church is going to be burned down. Hey, one day my home is going to be gone. One day our flower garden and our vegetable garden is going to be gone, my friend. And all that's going to matter then is what we've done with Jesus. And I want you to notice something. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming again, beloved. Are you ready for him if he comes today? Do you know you're saved today? Not only do you know you're saved, but are you living the Christian life today? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, there it is. Be in Christ. We're new creatures. He makes something new out of us. I'm looking around. I'm looking at new people. I'm looking at my stepfather. He's got the same flesh. He's got the same name. He's got the same birthday. Hey, but there's something different about him today because he got saved by God's grace. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says old things are passed away. Hey, he got saved by God's grace. Hey, he's not going down there to Pingley's no more. He's not going out there dancing with somebody else's wife no more. Hey, let's talk about me. When I got saved, hey, I'm not going to drink no more beers. I'm not going to go out into the hell holes. I'm not going to listen to that bright light and loud music because I'm a new creature, because God's made something new out of me. And the life in which I now live, I'll live by the faith of the Son of God, which gave himself for me. The life I'm living today is the life of Christ. Well, it should be. Not only did he give us his love, he gave us his life. But I want you to notice this. What it says here, if you would, in verse 13 of John 15. All that is just the introduction for this. Notice what it says here in verse 13. Greater love have no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. And we can say, well, Christ's love was great, can't we, church? We can say Christ's love was great, can't we? Is God's love great? Amen. Did Christ lay his life down for us? He did. Jesus said, hey, I lay my life down for my friends. He said, hey, I lay my life down for the sheep. Notice what it says here. Greater love has no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Not only has Christ done this, but this is what Christ wants us to do. He said, there's no greater love than for you to give your life for a friend. There's no greater love than for you to give your life for a friend. Look here, if you would, in 1 John. Turn back with me to 1 John, if you will. And notice what it says here in 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not only did we see his love, not only did we see his life, but I want you to notice the labor he's given us. The Bible says here that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He says, because I lay my life down for you, you ought to lay your life down for the brethren. Because I saved you, you ought to be willing to lay your life down for brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. And who is our friend today, church? Jesus, our friend. Families is our friend. The world, in one aspect, is our friend. Now, we can't get buddy-buddy with the world. But the world's our friend. We're trying to win them to Christ. We're trying to get them involved, get them to church. And the Bible says, hey, if you're going to be a friend, you've got to lay your life down. We've got to give our lives for our friends. He said, there's no greater love than for a man to lay his life down for his friend. I want you to notice something. If you're saved today, you should be trying to do all you can to get other people saved and to get them in God's house and to hear God's word and get them on their way to heaven. The Bible says, hey, well, Christ laid his life down for us, we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. I want you to notice, not only should you try to get people saved, but you should be willing to help brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, thank God for those who's in our church who's sending out letters to those who are in the hospital. No doubt it makes you feel good when you get a letter in the mail. Security makes you feel good when somebody gives you a letter or somebody gives you a card and they got on the card, "Hey, I've been praying for you and we're trusting God to help you." Hey, my friend, I want you to notice something. We're in this battle together. We're in this fight, my friend, together, and we should be earnest and contented for the faith. We should be fighting a good fight together. And the Bible says, not Preacher Scott, the Bible says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means we ought to care for each other. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Jesus cares. The Bible says there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. And we see Jesus done that. He laid down his life for me and you. He laid down his life for the sheep. He said, "Hey, I want you to know something. I've given my life for you, and you should give your life for the brother." The brothers and sisters in Christ. You should give our lives for each other. You realize one day God's going to wrap it all up. And one day every one of us is going to be in heaven together if you're saved by God's grace. And you know what we should be doing before we get to heaven is to help each other out in prayers. Help each other out in phone calls. Help each other out in your Christian lives. You see a brother that's getting low in his Christian life. When Brother Jeff come in, I noticed something was wrong with him. I said, "Brother Jeff, are you feeling all right?" He said, "I don't really feel too good this morning. I just don't feel right." I said, "Is there anything I can do to help you? Can I lead the choir for you? Can I do something just to try to help you to get through today?" My friend, you see somebody struggling. You see somebody hurting. You know what we should do? We should go by and pick them up and hold them up, my friend. The Bible says, "Hey, you which are spiritual should restore them which are fallen." In other words, if you see somebody that's not living the Christian life, instead of talking about them and running our mouths about them and getting them down, we ought to get up under them. The Bible says that we ought to bear their burdens. We ought to get up under them and lift them up and turn them, my friend, and help them. We ought to lay our lives down for each other. We ought to bear each other's burdens. I want you to notice, we don't have time to look in God's Word, but nowhere in the Bible will you find that you should tell everybody your burdens, you should tell everybody your problems. But the Bible does say, bear you one another's burdens. If we see somebody hurting, and we can help them, we should try to help them. Here the Bible says there's no greater love. Think about all those service men. Think about all these men and women we have in our church service today who's given their lives, who's fought in wars and who's been in the military and served in the military. My friend, when they saw a fallen soldier, they saw a soldier that fell behind. You never left them behind. Brother Pete, you never left them behind. You never left them behind. If seven men went in, hey, seven men come out. If someone got shot or someone got wounded or someone got injured, if someone got killed, they still picked the body up. They dragged the body through the woods or carried the body back, my friend. Hey, they never left a man behind. And here the Bible says, there's no greater love. You want to love the way Jesus loves? I do. I want to love the way Jesus loves. My friend, we don't have enough money to help everybody in the world with the light bills. We don't have enough money to help everybody out with groceries. We don't have enough of time to help everybody else in the world, my friend, but we can't have the love of God. We can't have compassion. We can't pray. We can't have a desire to make a difference. And we can, my friend, get up under their burdens, get up under their load of cares, and help them through this Christian life. So I'm going to tell you, one day I'm going to need you. One day I'm going to need you. One day you might need me. One day it might be me sitting home, not coming to church, and need somebody to knock on my door and say, "Preacher Scott, I missed you. I want you to come back." It might be me in the hospital one day that's going to have surgery, and I want somebody to knock on the door and say, "Hey, preacher, we just want to have a prayer with you because we believe God's able to get you through this surgery." My friend, it's going to be us one day sitting at the side of a casket looking at a loved one that's passed on, and we need somebody to wrap their arms around us and say, "Hey, preacher, we love you, we care for you, and we believe God's going to get you through it." The Bible says, hey, there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. It's time for us to lay down our lives for each other. Lay down our lives for the Lord. Look at this, if you will. We'll close here in just a few minutes. In John chapter 15, notice what it says here, if you will. In John chapter 15, the Bible says, greater love Greater love hath no man than this, in verse 13, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Not only should we lay down our lives for our friends and lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters of Christ, but we should lay down our lives for Jesus Christ. He's the greatest friend we ever have. And we should be willing to lay down our lives for him. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse in chapter 15, the beginning of it. Notice what the Word of God says, if you will. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through that which was spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, hey, without me ye can do nothing. But what is the something God wants us to do? He says, I want you to notice something. He says, I want you to notice this. Hey, without God, you can do nothing. So there is something God wants us to do. What is the something God wants us to do? Look here, if you would, in verse 2. The Bible says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to bear fruit. What is fruit? We'll get to that in a minute. But he wants us to bear fruit. Not only fruit, but notice what else it says in verse 2. He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, I want you to have fruit. I want you to have more fruit. You know what fruit is? Fruit is something you eat, something you enjoy, something that is a product of the plant. Today we've got squash plants, and we got zucchini plants and cucumber plants and mater bushes at the house. You know what we're waiting for? We're waiting for squashes. We're waiting for zucchinis. We're waiting for maters. We're waiting for peppers. We're waiting for that plant to produce something. And God says in your Christian life, you should be producing fruit. And then he wants you to move a step further and produce more fruit. And notice what it says here in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and unto him the same bringeth forth much fruit. He says, I want you to have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. You say, why, Preacher Scott? Why should my life produce fruit? Why should I go out there and try to get people saved? Why should I be faithful to church? Why should I pay my tithes because God told you to? Why should I sing in the choir? Why should I try to encourage people to come to church? Why should I lay down my life for Jesus? Look here, if you would, in verse 8, I believe it is. Notice what it says here in verse 8. The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He says, if you want to glorify God, and if you really want to glorify God, and you really want to love God, and you really want God to be well pleased with you, you know what you've got to do? You've got to start somewhere and produce fruit, and produce more fruit, and produce much fruit. How do we do that? Church, how do we produce fruit? I want you to notice one verse, if you would. I believe it's in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look here if you would. John chapter 12. Look at this one verse with me. In verse 24. The Bible says here in John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know how we bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit? We have to die to self. We have to say, Lord, this is my life, and I'm going to lay it down for you. Here the Bible says there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. So if God's your friend today, you know what you should do? You should lay your life down and say, God, this is my life, but I'm going to lay it down for you. I'm going to lay it down so I will die to self. And I'll die to what I want to do. And I'll bring forth fruit and more fruit and much fruit that you may be glorified. I don't know about you, beloved, but I want my life to make a difference. As we was in a man's prayer room, you know what I said? I said, pray for these young people. Hey, pray for these two young girls and pray for Bridget and pray for Tiffany and Reagan and pray for Bianca and pray for those who's in the children's church this morning and pray for those who's in the nursery this morning, because, my friend, if Christ don't come back soon, they're going to be the future of this church. One of them young men might be up here preaching the gospel. Some of them people might be leading the choir or singing the choir or running buses. He said, Preacher Scott, how can I make a difference today? Lay your life down for one of them. Get one of them and say, hey, honey, I care for you. Hey, Tori, I care for you and I love you. I want to live the Christian life in front of you. And no, hey, it's not a sad thing to live for Jesus. It's the greatest thing in the world is to live for Jesus and know you're saved and know you're on your way to heaven and to have someone you can run to and have someone you can call daddy and have someone you can call father and have someone you can call savior and go to them anytime you ever need them. Hey, the greatest thing I've ever done was to get saved and give my life to Jesus. And here the Bible says, if you want to have fruit, more fruit or much fruit, you've got to die. And my friend, I look around, I see all of us are saved this morning. And we're the fruit of God. And the only reason we're the fruit of God is because Christ laid his life down and died so we could be saved. And you know what he says? In the book of Peter, he says, I'm your example. He said, I'm your example that you should die for your friends. Lay your life down for your friends. Not only that, but lay your life down for brothers and sisters in Christ. But greatest of all, he says, lay your life down for the Lord. Hereby I perceive we the love of God that he died for us, that we should serve and live and die for him. Friends, I don't know about your life, but I want to die for my Savior. I want to wake up every day and say, Lord, here I am. Use me and mold me and make me whatever you want me to be. You know the reason I want to do that? Not so I can be some big shot preacher. Not so we can have some big uptown church. So I can say, hey, God, I love you. I love you. Because there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to look at God. I'll be able to look at Christ in his eyes. And I say, Jesus, I know you love me. And I hope that you know I loved you. My friend, if we lay down our lives for Jesus, then he'll know that we love him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, God, you help our hearts. There might be one that's lost and without Jesus that needs to be saved today. And God, I know this wasn't a fitting Memorial Day's message, but I think about the greatest hero of all. It's not the sports stars. It's not the military people. The greatest heroes of all is Jesus Christ, because he's done the impossible. He came and gave his life so we can have life. He died so we can have everlasting life. And Father, today there might be one in here that needs to be saved. And God, the greatest thing I could tell them to do today is to get saved, to come to know who Jesus is, ask for forgiveness, and be set free. And God, for us that are saved by God's grace, personally, Lord, I want you to know that I love you. God, help me to every day wake up to lay down my life. Lord, you're my friend. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're God. And I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that I love you. God, not only do I love you, but I want to love the brothers and sisters in Christ the way you've commanded us to love them. God, help us to have your love for them. And Lord, not only that, but our friends, those who are not saved, those who's out in the world that needs to be saved. God, help us to love them. Help us to care for them. God, give us the strength and power not to be engaged in their worldly activities, but God, to go to them and God, to convince them to come to Christ. The Apostle Paul said he persuaded men to come to Jesus. Help us to persuade our friends to come to the Lord. Father, deal with hearts now, I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. If you will, let's stand to our feet. We have our heads bowed and eyes closed. The music begins to softly play. I want to ask you this question. The altar's open this morning. Let me ask you this question. You might be in here. You might be visiting. You might be a member. You might be a little child. You might be an older adult. Let me ask you this question this morning. Would you be willing to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not right with the Lord. I know I'm not saved. And Pastor, I need you to pray for me." Is there one out in here this morning be willing to just lift your hand and say, "Pastor, I need your prayers. I'm not saved. I'm not right with the Lord. Preacher, you just pray for me. I'm not saved." Would you slip it up real quick? I see it. Nobody else looking around. I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Is there another? "Preacher, you pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not right with God. I need your prayers. I need your prayers." Is there another? While I'm looking, nobody else is but me. "Preacher, you pray for me. You pray for me." How about you today that's saved by God's grace? Are you dying to self? Are you living for the Lord? Are you helping out the other brothers and sisters in Christ? If you haven't, won't you start? Won't you start today by coming to this altar and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to die to self, and I want you, God, to make a difference in my life. I want you to make a difference in my life." Won't you come on? Won't you come on right now? There's people praying. They might be praying for you. I'm going to ask you this question. If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me because I was lost. I'm not saved." I want to ask you right now. I'll step down here in front of this table. I won't come to you. I won't call your name out. I won't embarrass you. I won't do that. But if you know today's the day you need to be saved, and today's the day you want to turn over your life to Jesus, say, "Jesus, just forgive me my sins and come into my life and save me." If you know you need to do that today, I want you to step out of your pew right now and come on forward. You say, "Preacher, today is the day I'm going to give my life to Jesus." I want you to come on. You say, "Preacher, today's the day I know I need to be saved." I want you to come on. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm lost. If I die in the situation I'm in, I'm going to have to go to a devil's hell. And preacher, today, I need something to take place. I need something to be different. I need Jesus in my life." Won't you come on right now? I'm going to let the pianist play. And she's playing just for you. Say, "Lord, I need a new life. I need something to take place in my life. I need to be saved." Why don't you come get saved this morning? Turn over your life to Jesus this morning. The greatest thing you can ever do is give your life to Him. He'll save you, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll give you something. Beloved, I tell you the truth, it gets better and better every day. It gets better and better every day. Come to Jesus. He said, "There's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friend." If you're not saved today, Christ laid down his life for you. And we, as Christians, should lay down our lives for others. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. God, help our hearts. Help those who's going to leave this church building lost this morning. Father, I want to be their friend. I want you to do all that you can within my life to help me to be their friend and to tell them about Jesus. And God, I said I would pray for them, and I want to pray for them now. Lord, they have the phone number to this church. They have our names. They have people's names that's in this church. And God, the greatest thing they can do is get their lives right with Jesus. And I do pray, God, somehow, some way, they make a phone call or make a visit and let somebody know that they get saved. And we'll take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Show them how to simply just trust in Jesus for salvation. God, I pray you help us to come back tonight excited, anticipating what God's able to do through His precious word.